Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasagonige.
Will Bluewater,
a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
I gotta fix that. It said that it was pre-recorded. Well, by the time most people hear it, it'll be pre-recorded. But folks, we are live tonight. If you'd like to call in and talk with us, we're at 347-996-3318. This is Will Bluewater. We've got Joseph Fire Eagle. He's an Oklava Native American Church Peace Minister. He's a Cherokee. And like most Cherokees, he's got a few things to say. Anyway, welcome. Welcome. And
welcome. Thank you.
I had a interesting day today. I mean, some of the bizarre things that happened. Back in '96, to give us some idea what I'm talking about here. Back in '96, I was contacted by a guy in Chicago named Thomas Pecora, and he said that a guy by the name of Joseph Big Feather wanted to talk to me, so they called to talk with me, and later on, a year or so went by, and I contacted Thomas, and what you up to? He said, "Oh, I don't have anything to do with Indians anymore." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm afraid somebody's going to drop down out of a tree." <You know? laughs> He says, "It's dangerous." This morning, I wake up, and this fellow that I met online that lives about 15 miles from me, he leaves this message before 8 o'clock in the morning, tells me, I'm going to censor it. He says, hello, you mealy mouth, blah, blah, blah. If you don't take me off your native prophecy list, I'm going to come over there and kick your effing ass.
Wow.
You know? And, I have no idea. I have never treated this guy with anything but respect. Never had a crossword. As a matter of fact, we had a nice long conversation in Mark. And I wonder what on earth is going on. You know, now he is elderly, and you know, he could be up in close to 80. I don't know. I mean, I know. Well, he's a Vietnam vet, so. But I mean, it's just strange. It's just strange how people, what happens in people's minds sometimes. And I tell you what, you know, it is a dangerous business. We've had, of course, you've had one of your friends had his house burned down.
Yes.
He got swatted.
Absolutely.
You know, cops beat out his in the middle of the night. Of course, the mistake he made was, opening the door.
Right.
And you know, nearly killed his dog and just kicked crap out of the dog and all kinds of people slandering him. And it's just unreal what goes on. But
he just keeps going on, though. He just keeps getting back up, and that's what I love about him.
Exactly. And hang on. We've got you're calling in for area code 603. Who's on the line?
Yeah, I was, does Fire Eagle know anything about red-headed guardian angels?
I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, let us...
it was just a special moment he had in his life. I'm a brother. I was picking on him.
Well, we're going to... Let us get into... Before we get to questions...
hey, Joe.
Let us do some preliminaries with him and just hang on the line. But anyway, what we'd like to do, Joe, first is have Mark do your...
it's no problem. I just wanted to let him know I found the station.
Okay. You want to just listen? I'll come back a little later on.
I'm just going to say peace out, and I'm going to listen to the show.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Hey,
I know I found
calling.
It now. Yeah.
Okay, you got it. Bye-bye. Anyway, Joseph, what's your full birth date? And Mark will do...
12-2-1966.
12-2-66. Okay, so
yes,
you're...
Yes, sir.
So...
November 2nd, 1966.
So while he's working that up, tell us a little bit about yourself, and Mark, chime in when you're ready. Take your time, Mark.
Great. Well, my name is Joseph. I was born in a little town called Allegan, Michigan. Grew up around a little place called Pullman. Been moving all over the United States in my childhood. We never really settled down anywhere. And here I am, 47 years old, and for the last 20 years of my life, I have researched basically day in and day out who I am and what my purpose is on this earth. And I found out that I have Cherokee blood in my veins, and done a lot of study on the Cherokee, and they're great people. And I'm so proud to be a Cherokee. I'm not full-blooded. I don't make any claims to be full-blooded. But I'm a member, you know, of the human family. And let me see, as far as occupational, I've studied culinary arts. I've served 8 years in the military, United States Army National Guard. I spent 19 years in ministry, evangelistic, prison ministry, jail ministry, went to nursing homes, had a street ministry for a long time. I've invested myself in doing the best that I can to give good counsel to people, to help them in their life, to gain good values, because I was taught good values. And in turn, I think we have to give back what we've taken. And that's my philosophy in life. Don't take anything out unless you're going to put something back. And so if you've been taught well, if you've been taught good values, it would behoove you to pass those on to the next generation. You know, we can't let a good thing die. You know, that's what I'm about.
There's the Thunder people agreeing with you. Absolutely.
Well, the Thunder awesome. People are going to show up again on his birth.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very appropriate. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. What year were you born again?
In 1966.
Okay, I'm going to look up your Torah portion while he's doing that.
All right.
So I'm going to do a couple things here. One is what, in the traditional Mayan day count, what your birth was in the Mayan Zolkin calendar.
Oh, wow.
I'll do another one, so there'll be kind of two parts here.
Yes, sir.
So on the first part, it's very interesting because the day number that you were born on in the Zolkin 239... That number has been coming up to me all day long today.
Oh, wow.
That's unbelievable. And I thought it was because I had this friend that died just a while back, and I thought it was connected to that little, and then when I popped up your birth here, I see it again.
Yeah.
So it's called Five Kawak, and it's made of the five and the kawak, and the kawak relates to the storm or thunderstorm, which is what Bluewater was playing. So that was very appropriate.
Right.
So the five has to do with things about the elevation in creation, elevating things, moving things up in creation, you know, lifting things up, people, everything, and making things better, you know. Got a lot,
Mark,
like what
Mark,
you just said.
I got a quick question for him. Were you born before or after sunset, Joe?
I believe I was born in late evening.
Okay, so after sunset, okay. Sorry,
yes,
Mark,
sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and that relates to the fifth element or the fifth position in the medicine wheel, the center, the five.
Wow.
So it was also a number that was also associated with Quetzalcoatl as well. And you'll see it in a variety of ways. One of the ways you'll see that is you'll see on, I don't remember on the Hopi Kachinas if they had it, but I know the Zuni Kachinas, the older ones, have a little five thing down by their ankles, and it connects into that, and it also connects into the world cycles. So that symbol also, the Kwok symbol, the thunderstorm symbol, has also a strong tendency to show up with the white buffalo calves being born.
I said, that's great to be associated with that.
Yeah, I'd say you are connected into that because probably more than half of them have been born on that particular symbol, Kwok symbol. A lot of them. Which in the Lakota, and the thunder beings, or what do they call it, Wikian or something like that, the thunder beings, they're out in the west. And it's kind of interesting because in some of the stories, they help come and destroy evil.
Well,
and that's the direction associated with white buffalo calf woman as well.
Yes, sir.
So I think you probably do have some connections in with that whole
it's
white
like
buffalo.
It's been my calling all my life. I've always felt a very deep calling in me to seek justice in our land, you know. I hate injustice, and I've always tried in my whole life to speak the truth and to help people with the truth. You know, Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do, you know. I try to give people the freedom by telling them the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that you kind of water them with the truth, storm water.
You have to, or they won't grow.
Yeah. So the next one I'm going to do for you, this one's a little bit, well, it has several pieces to it. It's a Mayan Zolk'in that's for a next world cycle, but it also works in this world cycle as well. And it has a forward flow of time, which is the way we normally look at things, and it has a backward flow of time because time actually goes both directions. And then where these two time flows come together, it creates a doorway, a bridge, or a zero point, or a unity, or whatever you want to call it. So we'll go over the forward one first.
Okay.
And it's a Tumanik, and the Manik is a hand glyph. And it's associated with several things. One is the healing hand. It's also related to, in the Mayan, this glyph also relates to a deer. So you may have some deer energy floating around with you since your birth.
Awesome.
And this actually connects, the hand and the deer connects to a Cherokee story. Bluewater knows about it. It's in a book called He Walked Americas, and it talks about the great healer or the prophet that visited all over America, Canada, all the way down Central America, South America, and all kinds of different names for him. Usually the name related to a lot of times related to the dawn star or the morning star.
Yes, sir.
And then in one of the Cherokee stories in the book, it talks about he is the great healer is out in the forest, and he's with Cherokee guys. He picked out 12 of them, like he usually does. Same thing happened in the Bible. He got 12 of them. One of them kind of went bad, but there were
right.
12. And these 12 Cherokee guys are out there learning from him in the forest and the woods, and they come upon a little baby deer on a path. And the baby deer is by itself, you know, kind of unusual because, you know, there's usually a mother around, right?
Right. Right.
No mother. So the healer walks up to this baby deer, and they said he had a way with animals. He could communicate with them. So apparently he goes up to the little deer and asks the little deer, you know, well, where's your mother at, right? So the little deer turns around, walks on down the path, and they follow him for, I don't know, a quarter mile or more. And the mother's laying there dead on the side.
Oh.
She has wounds across her body, probably, like a mountain lion or something.
Right.
So the great healer, he kneels down behind her, beside her body, and he moves his hand across over the wounds, you know, like an inch or 2 inches
yes,
above.
Sir.
And as he's moving his hands, the wounds heal. And
that's awesome.
She gets up, and she's alive. And one or two of his disciples or students, one of them asks him, says, well, great healer, you know, why did you waste your power on an animal? And he looks at
wow.
him and he says something, this isn't, he said it in probably their language, so he didn't do it in English,
right,
so I'm
right.
paraphrasing. He said something like, there is no act of kindness so small in my Father's eyes that it is not
Amen.
More valuable than the most precious jewel on earth.
That's right. That is so true.
So we have the hand and the deer, the healing hand and the deer, and your birth is connecting into that.
I'm writing that down. So
it has to do with knowing, seeing things, especially things where you can use your ability or vision or knowing or connection with spirit in service of healing. Yeah, that has probably been with you since birth.
Yes, sir. That's definitely a confirmation.
And also, the knowing is also it's an intuition. It's you've probably been able to been pretty good at just having things happen, abundance of things changing, just falling into place, new paths
yes,
just
sir.
Opening up.
Definitely.
Probably easily just move on to new pathways, even though there might be, you know, some problems associated with it. But you probably are able to go in new directions if you need to.
That's right. That's exactly right. All my life, it has been that way. I would get a deep impression in my spirit when I'm talking with a person. And
mm-hmm.
for some reason, it's like you know that person. And I can't help but think there's got to be a spiritual connection, you know? There's got to be
yeah.
a purpose, a reason that person came across your path. And the reason I said that is because you never know who's going to cross your path. Do something to help that brother.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. We're all connected.
Yes, sir. Like I said before,
well,
I came up, you know, for years in the evangelical movement. And I know what it is to lay hands on a person and pray for a person and see them healed. I can pray for a person. And Creator doesn't have to have my hand, but I'm glad he does use it.
Yeah.
You know, I like being a part of what he's doing. And here recently, the Spirit's just been stirred up in me. I mean, I've heard so many tell me, brother, you know, you're not full-blooded Cherokee. You're not this. You're not that. And I said, but you don't know who I am, do you? I'm your brother. You've forgotten who we are. We're brothers.
Yeah.
And every one of us have a job to do. Every one of us have a responsibility, a purpose.
Yeah, well, on the spirit side, we're all Cherokee. We're all Lakota. We're all Maya. We're all
Absolutely.
Everything.
You were saying a moment ago how that the great healer came to this land. Well, in my research of the lost tribe of Joseph, with Manasseh and Ephraim, the two sons of Joseph that received the namesake blessing, they went to the isles north of Jerusalem. If you go to the islands that it spoke of, you wind up on the British Isles. That word Brit means Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word. It means covenant. Those people were in covenant with the with this great creator. Well, these two brothers, Manasseh and Ephraim, got in a fight and split up, just like the history of mankind.
That happens a lot of stories like that, right?
You know, absolutely. Jacob and his brother Esau, Adam, his two sons, Cain and Abel. Brothers have been fighting since the beginning of time. And the message of peace seems to be so forgotten today. And the message of peace is love one another as you want to be loved.
Yeah.
You know, love one another as you love yourself. And I guess that's why I'm on this broadcast tonight, brother. Brother Blue Otter asked me, he said, I want to talk about what it means to be a Native American, namely a Cherokee, but what does it mean to be a Native American in this day and age?
Can we, before you get on a roll here, because you're doing pretty good, let me finish up the rest of your birth reading here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then, no, that's okay. I just, you're on a roll, so I didn't want you to go too far before I could finish it up.
Right.
You might forget how it connects to the other part of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we did the forward one with the healing hand thing. On the backward flow of time, now, the way I usually explain this is probably energy that's been showing up and getting more powerful in your life and stronger, and probably somewhere anywhere around, say, the year 1997, 1998, maybe before that. And your energy here, just moving back, 11 Hunebku. Now, Hunebku in the Mayan thing is kind of relates to creator. From the standpoint of, they say Hunebku is the one giver of movement and measure, basically how life, how everything works. It moves in its measurements. And in the end, it's a green glyph, green energy. And that is in the center of the Mayan medicine wheel. Where we said your five kuaka earlier, the five represented the center. So here we see it coming up again. And it's about how everything is related, connected, and how in harmony and charity and liberation and also will, purpose, and discipline and intention. These are the things coming up. So those key words and how they relate back to Creator is what's probably getting stronger in your life.
Absolutely.
So I would say your probably desire for things to harmonize, have harmony, peace, purpose, discipline,
you
and willpower is very important. Now, where these two come together, the healing hand symbol and the creator symbol, Hunebku, where these two come together and they meet and they create a balance between the forward and backward time flow, there's another glyph that's another one of the healing hand glyphs, but it's a different number. It's a 13 Manique instead of a 2, so it's a 13.
There's my number, 13.
That was also a number of the great healer, too.
Wow.
5, 8, and 13.
Yes, sir.
And those numbers relate to the morning star, because they are the numbers of the orbital relationship between Earth and Venus.
That's pretty awesome.
And now in this one, it's bringing up, again, the knowing things, the healing things, but it's bringing in, it's linking back to that Kuok storm energy that we saw earlier, things that have to do with goodness, resurrection of things, and family.
That's like my name,
how that is connected, and that's going to bring back into the white buffalo energy. So what we see here essentially is the great healer energy on one part and some of the white buffalo energy on the storm symbol connecting, and that would also connect into the Hopis, their storm cloud symbol.
Wow.
That relates back to all their kachinas.
Makes sense to me.
They're getting ready right now, actually. I don't know, some of the Mesas actually may have finished them on, which is their going home ceremony for the Kachinas. So the Kachinas are here from the winter solstice to the summer solstice, and so they're
right
here for that time of the year, and then they leave. And this is all, some of this is probably connected back into you as well. But again, we see the hand energy here. Now, one of the stories in, out of Mexico is they had a stone. It's probably from up on the side of the volcano Popo.
Yes, sir.
And one, there was a time where the healer literally pressed his hands into the stone. Just
wow.
And there are handprints. And supposedly they still have the stone, and they carry it with them, and they pretty much guard it 24 hours a day, and it moves around. It's mobile. Well,
ooh.
I don't know. They may park it sometimes and put it somewhere.
Right,
but,
right.
But it's considered a very sacred item.
We'll see why.
So probably, you know, things like that, I think, and that whole thing, I would guess you're probably very connected back into all that.
Yes, sir. It all makes, I mean, very good sense to me. It kind of brings everything together when you explain this to me the way you have tonight. Because I can look back on my life and see where this is true. These things have been, they've been confirmed, you know.
Well, usually that's about all I do in these readings, is it's not anything new, because usually people are able to see it and say it. Because what's really happening is most people think it's like, you know, the astrology and this and that, which I'm not against those things, and they have some purpose, but it's not exactly like that. The
right
way I try to explain the Mayan Zolk'in. Now, one thing that's important about those Mayan Zolk'in, that your number 13?
Yes, sir.
That number is a very significant number because it relates to an underlying pattern of creation. It is also one of the cycle numbers of the Mayan Zolk'in, which is what makes it unique on Earth as a calendar.
Wow.
Because as far as I know, it's the only calendar that utilizes numbers that are based upon an underlying pattern or relate to an underlying pattern in creation of how Creator builds things. I mean,
right,
that's mathematically
right
provable. And that's why it's the number of the great healer as well. And it's also why we see Christ, 12 apostles, and he's the 13th.
Yes, sir.
And the so the Zolk'in calendar the Mayans have, and on some of the stories they literally say that the person that was the great healer, or the Quetzalcoatl, or Kukulcan, or whatever they chose to call him, that he actually gave them their calendar.
Right.
So, and he also taught them how to read, write, agriculture. In their, a lot of those cultures, he basically almost built their civilization from the ground up.
Yes, sir.
You know? Is amazing, and healed them. So, and guess what? His signature words were in Lakesh, or in the Lakota Omotakiasin or something. In Lakesh means I am another you, or all are
yes,
related,
sir.
Or
yeah, absolutely. That's
I am
awesome
in you, you are in me, as in the book of John, chapter 14. That.
Yes, sir.
Concept. So they literally, when you know, when they were saying hello to each other down there, saying in Lakesh, they're basically saying the same thing what Jesus says.
Yes.
So I
absolutely
think they understood that. So let's see where. So in the Zolk'in calendar, it's operating on a frequency of creation. So instead of a calendar, sometimes I say it might be more like a song that's being sung.
Right.
And so when
right
we look up your birthday, what we're doing is taking your date in our calendar, and then we're finding it in a position in a song or a musical note within a song
right
where you were born in that song of creation about humanity. And that
wow
part, that position in the song will tell us, kind of like any musical note has a certain place in the song, it's doing something, and there's things happening at that point in the song. It's about something, you know, something's going
yes, sir
on right there. And so that's what we're doing, is we're just looking up where you were born in the song. And so it's not unlikely that if you do that right, then and you read what the song is singing about, then you, being born at that position, are going to react to it and see that actually in your life. So it sort
right.
of makes some sense. And but the key thing is on it is that it usually what it does is it gives you confirmation, you know, and kind of gives you an idea you're more or less on the right track and you're hitting
right.
the bullseye.
It's
but then the part about the future path, that's giving you maybe a little bit of an idea of how these things are coming together. So it might give you a little bit of help on understanding or utilizing that better. You know, where you,
yes,
you have better understanding, you might be able to do something more with that or understand it better that might help you, you know, on your path.
Right.
So, now one other thing is the one symbol that's in the future moving back, that is connected to, has a relationship to a cave that's underneath the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan.
Okay.
And there's a cave under there, and it looks like a kind of like a four-petal flower.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you go back and you look at what White Buffalo Castleman says, she said, and those four-petal flowers, each of those flower petals relate to a world cycle. Well, the White Buffalo Castleman in several of the accounts, I'm remembering Lane Deer's account especially, I think he said something where White Buffalo Castleman said, the four ages are in me, I am them. And I'll come back and visit you each age.
Wow.
So the four petal, that cave underneath the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan has those four petal flowers would relate exactly to the White Buffalo Castleman. It is also on, if you've ever seen an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, that picture is
yes,
all
sir.
Over Mexico. Yeah. If you look right over her womb, right under the sash, you'll see a four petal flower. It's that cave.
I think I remember seeing that.
And that image actually appeared at Tepeyac Hill, just a few miles away from the Pyramid of the Sun. And so, and I believe that that Pyramid of the Sun, in the Hopi terminology, I think that that four-petal flower in the image of Guadalupe would relate to the Spider Woman.
Oh, wow.
And she helps with the creation of Earth, basically, of life on Earth.
Right.
And so, and I remember one time when I was talking to a lady that was into Lakota, and she went up and visited when the first white buffalo was born in Janesville, Wisconsin, August 20th, 1994. Yeah, miracle. And she went up there. Her name was Stephanie Schwartz. She went up there and visited, and it completely changed her life. She started volunteering and doing all that stuff. But I talked to her one time. I said, you know, Stephanie, I think this Our Lady Guadalupe and White Buffalo Catwoman are the same.
Okay.
They're the same thing. And she kind of looked at me. She said, well, you know, what year did that image appear of Guadalupe? And I said it was the year 1531 at the winter solstice, exactly on the winter solstice.
Wow.
And she looked at me. She thought about it for a second. She says, yeah. That would have been right around the time of one of the apparitions of the White Buffalo Catwoman.
Right.
That was kind of interesting. So I believe those two are connected. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I believe it's probably something maybe significant on your path to be aware of, too.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, that's it.
All right. I appreciate
we'll
you.
We'll let you get back to...
Thank you so much.
You were on a roll before. I hated to stop you, but...
And before you get launched, I did your I looked up your Torah portion. It's the portion of the Hebrew Bible that's associated with your Hebrew birth date, and I sent it to you. And it's guess what? All about the early life of Joseph of Egypt.
Wow!
Yeah.
I was named after Joseph in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because of what his name represents. That means God shall add or God shall increase.
That's right.
And
so,
I'll tell
you,
these last couple years of my life has just been a time of increase. Things have been being added to me. You know, my wisdom and knowledge of the Creator and my purpose in this life, it's all coming together, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to have a lot to talk about here.
Well, I'm going to let you try to do the most of the talking.
Oh, no, I don't do much talking. I if I interrupt, I'll dominate the conversation. So.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, go ahead and just tell us how you feel.
Well, the original question that I've been meditating on, been praying about it, and preparing myself to talk about tonight is, what does it mean to be a Native American in this day and age? And I would ask the question, what has it always meant to be a Native American? My understanding is that we all came from one creator. We are all brethren. We're all brethren. We're all brothers. Doesn't matter what color our skin is or what country we live in. We're brothers. We all came from the original Adam. And my research on Adam and on that Hebrew name, Adam, it meant ruddy, R-U-D-D-Y, or red man, earthy, red man. And when I was told at a young age that I had Native American blood in my veins, I started learning all I could about what it is to be a Native American, how they live, what they practice, what they believe in. And I've learned in a short amount of time in my life that we're here on this earth to dress it and keep it. We were put here on this earth to dress that garden and keep that garden and to work together. Man couldn't do it alone, so he made him a helper. And together they were to keep the land, keep it sacred, keep it nice, respect it, and then to respect one another. And that's the teachings of our ancestors, is that we're all brothers. But what bothers me the most, Brother Blue Otter, is that I see so much bickering and fighting among our members about who is a true Cherokee. You're not full-blooded, you're not this, you're not that. The question remains, are we not all members of the same human family? Whether we're Cherokee, Blackfoot, Seminole, whatever, Chinese, we're brothers. And we're not honoring the Creator with our fighting. We're not honoring one another with our fighting. You know, when I see the arguing, the drama on some of the sites, you know, it bothers me, because we got better things to do than to try to disprove someone's ancestry. I know that's important to find out whether we have Native American blood in us. I know that's important. And there's a lot of members that are really proud to be full-blooded, but there's some of us that aren't full-blooded. You know what I'm saying? And we're just as much human as anyone else. But as a whole, humanity has forgotten that we were created equal. We were created brothers. And since the beginning of time, there's been fighting and warring and killing between brothers. And I got to do my part as a minister of peace, as a member of the human race, to restore the old beliefs that we're still one. We're still brothers, and we need to act like it. I told Brother William, I told him, I said, you know, I'm proud to have even one drop of Cherokee blood in my veins. My father was Cherokee and Chickasaw descendant. My mother was Blackfoot descendant. And there's some Irish in our blood, too, you know? And so I've leaned more towards the Native American side because I love our ways, a respect for the land, a respect for them that dwell on the land. Don't take what you don't put back in the land. If you cut a tree, plant a tree back. Give back. Don't just take. We're robbing the earth. We're robbing one another of future blessings if we just take and never put back. And why I'm saying that is I think we all have something to contribute. Each and every single one of us have a specific purpose for being in this jigsaw puzzle of life. And if even one of us are out of place, if we don't realize our purpose, It doesn't work like it's supposed to. You don't see the whole picture. But when we learn who we are and we find our purpose in life, things start fitting into place. And I think that's what the Creator is trying to say, people, to everyone, to all of humanity. It's time we put our weapons down and beat our plows into, you know, our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks and accept one another for who we are. We're brothers. We need to stop the fighting, stop the arguing over who's real, who's this, who's not this. We're human, and we were all created by one Creator. Just as much as we're brothers, the eagle's our brother, the bear's our brother, the wolf is our brother, we need to respect life and keep it in our hearts as something that is precious. And one another, we need to look at our brother as looking at someone who is precious, wonderfully and fearfully made, and accept that individual and understand they have something to contribute to, and then let them go ahead and contribute. Don't ever push a man down. Help him up. Help one another up. And I believe the teachings of our ancestors, the teachings of our fathers, the elders, they what made us strong today. But if we forget their teachings and they die with this generation, they're not told to the next. We die as a people. We're alive, but we have no spirit. That spirit that's in us is what makes us one. We all have Creator's DNA. The same breath that gave Adam his life gave me mine, and it gave you yours. And I need to respect that. We all need to respect that. Don't dishonor the Creator by dishonoring his creation. Come together. Be one. And that's what it's about. I mean, after all, doesn't it say one nation under God? Under the Creator. Most people today are so busy, brother, thinking about everything else in life. They got so many gadgets to play with, internet. They don't spend time with anyone other than their computer. They don't spend time with humanity. They don't spend time with nature. They're so busy today. We need to go back to our roots and spend some time with nature. Spend some time with our Creator. Spend some time with one another. And find our purpose on this earth is to be one. And when we learn that lesson that we are one, we are brothers, we're all created equal, we're going to grow and flourish as a race on this earth. And then we can actually do what the Creator told us to do. Go in and possess the land and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say destroy and subtract. And I think that's what the human race is doing right now. They're subtracting and destroying. And the Creator, I can't help but think that he's got tears in his eyes tonight as he looks down on his creation, a beautiful thing that he created, and they're fighting. And they're not working together. Well, it's time we start working together. It's time we remember who we are and where we came from and what our purpose is. And when we do that, all nations will be one nation again. We'll all be one people again. If you can't look a stranger in the eye and tell him you love him, you got a problem. And that's my philosophy in life. Love them, why? The Creator made them, and he thinks they're awesome. We should too. And I guess that about sums up what I wanted to say tonight is we're brothers. We're one. We are one. The Cherokee, the Apache, the Comanche, the Iroquois, we're all related. And just because one is not this or not that doesn't mean that he's any less important. We need to treat each other right. We need to treat each other as a brother. And that's my message to our people tonight, is that we need to drop our prejudice and our racial bigotry and understand that if we don't come together, we're going to fall apart, and we see it happening. And I don't know about everyone else, but I'm going to do my part. And I got great faith that the ones that hear this message tonight, they're going to give it some thought, and they're going to start looking at each other differently. And that was my goal for tonight, to get us to look back to the old ways, Love God, love your, love the earth you came from, and love all that dwell on it. Big or small, we're one. One man. One human race. One family. And the Creator's our head. And that's what I wanted to say tonight.
Oh, the Thunder people agree. Well,
I'm
yeah, you had
up in my spirit, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
Well spoken.
It's you had some good treating. I'll tell you what. There's no better preacher. The guy's a stand at a street corner. I know one other guy that did that, and his father did that. And it takes a lot of cojones to do that. I couldn't do
it. Right. You know what I found out, Brother William, when I went into the county jails and the state prisons to preach? And I learned something. If you present yourself to those people like someone that loves them and cares about them,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be 10 times faster to hear your word and receive it, and you're going to help them. So I have to be humble myself. I have to stay humble. I pray every day, God, Creator, keep me humble. Remind me I'm no better than anyone else. I am no better. And I got, like I said, brother, I got to do my part. I got to do my part.
Yeah. So how did you find out about Oklahoma Native American Church?
Through Brother Blackfeathers. He has been such a great friend to me. Through him, I learned of the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia, and through him, I even learned to make my first piece of Native American jewelry. That's what I do in my spare time. I make jewelry, make chokers and necklaces, and learning to make moccasins and medicine bags and how to use the herbs and the roots and go back to nature, you know. But Brother Blackfeathers has helped me so much in understanding who I am, and I really thank the Creator for sending him to me. He's been through a lot, but he's a strong man, and I admire him. Yeah, he's
yeah.
the one that told me of Oklava, Native American Church, and I'm proud to be a member of it.
And now let's see. You said you were born in what town in Michigan?
Allegan.
Spell that.
It's in Allegan County. It's the county seat, about 10 miles from where I grew up at.
Spell that.
Allegan is A-L-L-E-G-A-N.
Huh. You know that's related to the word Allegheny.
Oh, wow.
And let's see, the Ketua, the United Ketua Band fellow that wrote the work called Burning Phoenix, his name was Allegan Slagle.
Well, see, that's what my name is in reference to, that phoenix, fire eagle, the one that rises up from the ashes. And that's a powerful name to me. It reminds me of who I am. You know,
mm-hmm.
get up and keep going.
And the phoenix related to the Phoenicians, and they were known to be red men. And
yes,
they had a special red cloth that they made from the blood of, right now it's unknown what sea animal that they made it from.
Wow.
But, they're sea-going people, and, they planted civilizations all over the world. We probably are partially descended from them. I know the sea-going kingdoms in Monaco and all around the Mediterranean come from them. One of their ships was found in the Los Angeles River, believe it or not. They back when had a different level, and they're all around the world. And Turkish admiral named Piri Reis back in the 1500s or 1600s apparently had a map that that came from there. They knew the correct topography of Antarctica before it had ice on it. That would have been 4,000 years ago. Yeah, P-I-R-I-R-E-I-S, the Piri Reis map. Yeah, they got around.
I would say so. But everything is, like, tied together tonight. I mean, with you guys telling me these signs and these glyphs, these meanings, you know, it brings everything into perspective. It's pretty exciting to me to hear these things. My father and my mother told me that when I was born with a veil, and that was a special sign.
Ooh, yeah.
From God, that, you know, and I never really understood everything about it, but I guess I've always been different in my whole life. I've just been different. I never really was part of the crowd. I knew I was different. I knew I had a different purpose in life. And when I got in touch with my creator, he started showing me that purpose. And that's to bring the people together. And that's what I've always tried to do in my life. Not ever split people up, but to bring them together. Not to ostracize or exile or cast away from you someone who's just not like you. We're all part of that. We're all part of creation, and every one of us have our place. And that's, it's so important to me that that's the message the Creator picked for me to preach, is that we're one. You know? And if the people can just get that message, brother, who we are, why we're here, we're to be a family. And you know, the family that prays together stays together. I think every
that's
one of us needs to spend a little more time every day speaking to the Creator. And then listen to see what he has to say to us.
That's true. Yeah, you ought to Google that. It's interesting. I've never Googled that, but it's got some interesting images of and information about being born with veil. Yeah, your most famous psychic.
I'd like to read on that. I really would. I'd love to
just
research
that.
Just put
born with a veil, V-E-I-L. It shows pictures of babies that were born with a veil and it's been known for a long time. These people usually have psychic abilities, maybe really heavy-duty psychic abilities. Huh.
I've always leaned more towards the spiritual side in life. I've always had a really deep fascination with both the natural and the supernatural. And I've always leaned towards finding out the truth about life. All of this is really neat to me. It's awesome. It fits together.
Wow, this is mind-blowing. Wow.
Yes, it is.
Wait till you see some of these pictures. Born with a veil. Google it. Oh, my gosh.
I will. No problem.
They show a baby right out of the birth canal, the veil, and they showed veils after they've been dried. And, yeah, I heard about that for years, and I've known other people. I knew in Shreveport, Louisiana, she was number three psychic in Edgar Casey's outfit. She left him because they were just about worshiping the guy by 10, 20 years ago. But but it was really weird because she couldn't read me. And
oh, wow.
It blew her mind, blew my mind. It was really weird. I mean, yeah, she was told something about me and that I had like seven guardians, but that was it.
Right.
She could not read me. And it was, and she'd never failed to be able to read. So I don't know.
I'll share something with you that is it's on those very same, on the same guideline, on the same subject. The other day, I was sitting making some jewelry, and I felt impressed in my spirit to make a bear claw necklace for a certain chief, a good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell you something about that. Go ahead. Yeah, I had experience
with
that. Go ahead.
And so I made the necklace, and I told him that I was going to send it to him. I asked him for his mailing address so I could send him the bear claw necklace. And he said, well, Pila, he said, you didn't even know, did you, my spirit guide, my spirit guardian is the bear spirit. And I was like, my jaw dropped open because I knew I was supposed to make him a bear claw necklace. And when I told him that, it's really helped our friendship.
Well, I've got a friend out in Utah named Bob Strongbear Bates. He's a descendant of Dragon Canoe. And I used to hang around with him quite a bit. He's a Special Forces veteran. He knew Lieutenant Colonel Bo Greitz personally, and I know that because, you know, we went and saw Bo, and I was standing in line with Bob, and he says, "Oh, hi, Doc," you know. So anyway, he's a no BS kind of a guy, but he had all kinds of sacred items in a safe. And he pulled some out, you know, one day, and he had a bear claw necklace, and it still had the hair, and what even looked like fecal matter, you know. I mean, they were just weren't even cleaned up; they were just drilled and
right.
He said here, put it on, and now he'd been a constable after Vietnam. He was a constable in Houston for a while. He got hit by a drunk driver. And at that time, he had like 14 back surgeries.
Oh wow!
But he said, "Here, you know, he says, here, put it on," and says, "I got to go use the restroom. I'll be back in a minute." And so I was sitting on the floor in front of his sofa. This is near Logan, Utah, and I just closed my eyes, and next thing I know, he's shaking me awake. Wake up. You're not breathing.
Oh, wow.
And as I woke up, I could see the teeth and the eyes of the bear. It was wild.
Oh, wow.
It was
pretty interesting.
And Bob was an interesting guy. I knew him for years and years. And, there was a lot of stuff that happened with me the year before and the year after my first wife passed away in 95. And I guess about,
yes,
I don't know, 98 or 99, something like that, Bob called me and he says, I got to apologize to you. I says, what for? And he says, well, he says, you know all that stuff you used to tell me about your spiritual experiences? I said, yeah. He says, I thought it was all bullshit. I said, really? I said, he says, I don't anymore. I said, why? He said, well, you know, I said, I just went in to have a back surgery again, and he said, he says after the surgery, I remember waking up, and if you've ever had surgery, sometimes you do wake up, but you look around and everything's totally out of focus.
I've had a few of them.
and he says, I just heard the nurse say, hit him with the needle, and he says, the next thing I knew. He says, I was laying on a cot in a GP medium tent, and he says, and all the guys on my Special Forces team that died either in country or since we've been back in the United States were seated around me.
Yes, sir.
And he says, and I got up on one elbow, and I looked around, and I said, am I dead? And they said, no, Doc, you're not dead. And he says, is this heaven? No, this is not heaven.
It's
this is not earth. And he says, at that point, the most boisterous member of the team spoke up. He says, this is a guy that died in Vietnam. And he said, Doc, we're here to tell you there's a shit storm coming down in this country like this country's never seen, and you're not ready.
Uh-oh.
And he said, well, yeah, I am. And he told him all the stuff he's got in his basement for preps. And he says, no, you don't understand. He says, well, what don't I have? He says, you're not prepared for water purification and food preservation.
Okay.
And he says that was the end of it. And he says, when I got home, he says, my wife told me, he says, Tina had a dream that same night. And, Tina told me that she said, Bob, I had a dream about this Vietnamese woman. And she walked up to me. She's had the traditional Montagnard. Well, in Vietnamese, she's Montagnard with the traditional turban. And she says she walked up to me with a green beret, and she as like she was handing it to me. Bob had been in Special Forces, and he was provisionally at a little, what they call a chocolate bar.
Yes, sir.
And he said to Tina, he says, well, honey, I never told you that I was married to a Montagnard woman when I was in Vietnam, and she was killed, and I buried her with my presentation beret. And so
he got a
double whammy.
Yes,
on that one. Yeah,
gotta be careful.
I would say that would be a wake up call.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, and but you know that was 15, 16 years ago. No.
Yes, sir.
And we're creeping closer and closer, you know, toward
yes, sir. Yeah,
you know,
we are.
You know, things in $17 billion and or $1 trillion in debt and. Oh, my gosh, you know, where does it end?
Right.
It really makes you wonder. And but, you know, I was talking with Chief Rogers. He was planning on going down to McAllen and joining Mercury One's effort down there. It's Glenn Beck's, you know, Feed the Kids project.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Rogers had a little bit different take. You know, even though he's a strong constitutionalist, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know anybody that looks at it the way I do. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, he said, what if the situation was like it was back in the days when the 12 sons of Jacob, and, you know, there's a famine in the land, and the only people that had, food was in Egypt, so they had to go down to Egypt. He says,
yes,
what if Egypt had not, you know, provided the charity and the jobs and a place to live for those people at that time?
Right.
And, and of course, all that was preceded by, you know, the incident with Joseph. You know, of course, what he was like the second youngest. It was 12 years between him and his younger brother,
yes,
Benjamin.
Sir.
So,
yes, sir.
So he was 17 years old, and he was a smart ass. And his brother, he was very gifted,
mm-hmm.
and a real smart. His brothers hated him because he was always his father put him over them, and so those brothers were up in their 40s and 50s.
He just had to tell his dream that got him in trouble.
Yep. And I think they were having an argument over, you know, the rabbis say they were arguing over, you know, whether it was right to cut the limb off of a living animal and eat it, you know, some law Moses thing. And so, you know, they conspired to, you know, to shove him in a hole and sell him into slavery. Well, if they hadn't done that, you know, so he eventually, you know, rose through a series of events over probably the next 13 years. By the time he was 30 or so, he became second only to Pharaoh. But Dr. Rogers pointed out, and we just put out a press release day before yesterday saying, our government's not doing a real good job differentiating between people that really need charitable treatment and criminals, and a lot of them are coming over.
Yeah.
He says, but
right.
he says the United States seems to be turning like Egypt did, you know, after, you know, then there was the Pharaoh that knew not Joseph.
Right.
And he says, you
he
know,
he didn't honor Pharaoh. He didn't honor Joseph's God either.
Yeah. And you know, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I said, oh, you know, the conservatives aren't going to like hearing that. And that may be why this guy made the threatening phone call to me today. That's the only thing I can think of. Because
wow.
That guy's a Cherokee, too, and he's very political, yeah, you know, a Tea Party kind of guy.
Right.
And so, but, yeah, it really makes you think. But, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, when you're a prophet or a seer, you can say things that are really going to set people on their heels and can really piss people off. You know, and you know why? It's because they realize what you're saying is right, and
yeah.
they know they're wrong, and they don't want to admit it, so they just get mad at you.
Whatever the light is cast upon, it reveals.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's hidden in darkness, when you speak the truth, it's going to expose things in the darkness. Some people are not going to like that.
Well, there's a guy named Schopenhauer. He said all truth goes through three phases. You know, he says first it's violently opposed. No, first it's laughed at, then it's violently opposed, then it becomes universally accepted as true.
Yeah.
And, but, oh my gosh, it's, and then this Malaysian thing, you know, this thing that's going on over in Ukraine, in early February, Creator told me war is coming, and this is, you know, 3-4 weeks before that thing heated up.
Yes,
and, wow, you know, and now this is the second time, you know, it looks like, you know, they've actually got pictures of the vehicle that that with two missing missiles that shot the thing down, headed back into Russia. The second time, they pulled this stuff back in 1981 or 1982 with the flight that 007. And the interesting thing about that is the head of the John Birch Society was on that flight.
Oh, wow.
Really makes you wonder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we're on the same page, brother. We don't need this kind of trouble in the world, but it's kind
of. Yes, sir.
And you know, John Red Hat told me. Of course, now John was born 1930. And he was like you. He had a lot of dreams and visions during World War II as a teenager. He actually learned to speak German in his sleep. This guy had a 30-some-odd-year career with the Air Force, and he would retired as a bird colonel. And they brought him out of retirement during Desert Storm in 1991 to be... liaison with the IDF because he converted to Judaism, become a rabbi, and I know another rabbi,
okay,
who was in Shreveport that knew him because he was also an Air Force officer, and but John Red Hat was a heavy duty Cherokee elder, you know, he pointed out, he said Cherokee belief system is. It's basic Cherokee beliefs plus whatever you want to incorporate with it that you see that's true.
Okay.
And but he so there's a lot of he taught me a lot of good things and of course, you know, he pointed out a lot of things that he wanted me to carry for. And after he died, I had a dream. You know, he told me he was going to back me up, and you know, I feel him around every once in a while, but I had something interesting happen. You know, he said I can't tell you a whole lot about what I did in the Air Force. He kind of hinted around about it. He said I will tell you. He said I flew was a test pilot, and I flew an F-111 Starfighter with an iridium skin.
Uh-oh.
And I thought that was really interesting. Well. Night before last, I was watching for the second time. I think I saw it a couple of years ago. It was called Area 51 Declassified. And back in the 60s, when they first came out with the SR-71 Blackbird, they call it the boxcar, and one of them crashed near Wendover. And the cover story was they were instructed to tell people that it was an F-111. But
okay.
It had But they were experimenting with iridium skins. It's the only aircraft that ever had an iridium skin, and it was iridium because they were flying like at Mach 8 or some ridiculous, you know,
that's
speed.
Pretty fast.
Well, yeah, and yeah. It's just aluminum would melt at because of the friction in iridium, titanium, and those kind of things. And so I went, oh my gosh, he was. And Dottie Daigle told me after John passed away that she found documents, correspondence between him and the CIA. But he told me, I guess he was on the faculty at for a while at the Air Force Academy. He had a house up there in Colorado. But he said everybody that does guard duty on the west side of the Air Force base is told that if they shoot a Sasquatch, they'll be prosecuted for murder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know. You know, yeah. Like little tidbits, you know. And
yes, sir.
But I knew he had friends that were, you know, I mean, these, you know, when you never really retire, you never lose. I mean, when you retire, you still keep your friends. And, I mean, he had
guys
that were, you know, Israeli Moshav and these people that had called him and clue him into stuff. He was a really interesting guy. Really.
I meant. Sounds
oh,
like
yeah.
It.
I wish everybody could have known him. But you know that he was a guy that encouraged me to get this show going. And
well, I'm glad you did. Really,
and
I
do
am.
Some other things. And,
I'm glad you listened to him and done what he told you.
Yeah. He was a good.
You've done a lot of great work on this broadcast.
Made a lot of trouble.
Oh well. I mean, you got to tell the truth.
Well, I'll tell you, we have accomplished some things. It's really interesting. John told me, now he was born in Ava, Missouri, back in 1930. Was raised by two full blood Ketua grandmothers and a freed woman, black woman.
Oh wow!
And they pronounced Ketua. Ketura with a trilled R. And when I put that information out, I started putting that on the internet back in like 99 and, you know, 2000,
right.
2001. And I got laughed at. Well,
oh,
here
well.
Last year I was looking at the Wikipedia article, the Eastern Band of Cherokee, and guess what it says on there? Yes.
What's that?
The original Ketua dialect had a liquid R, and
oh,
this
yeah.
is what Chief Rogers has been saying, is that the old dialect had the R and the M sound that isn't in the dialects. They, you know, instead of saying Ketura, they're saying Ketua,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just slight variations. And then, so yeah, we've actually begin to verify some things that the elders said a long time ago, including information about the migrations. Most Cherokees don't know that we migrated across the ocean, first into South America, then to Mexico, and that we came up from Mexico. And we've been back and forth a time or two, but then in 1721, anybody that's done any reading in Cherokee history knows that a man they called Dangerous Man led a group back to Mexico. Well, actually, it wasn't a group. It was the majority. They left South
right.
Carolina after the Treaty of Holston in 1721, and they went back to Mexico. And that's
right.
what Sequoia was doing. He made three trips down there in the 1830s looking for them, found some of them. Dr. Rogers points out that whenever the Cherokees move, they leave people in case people come looking for them. And
right.
he found some in Coahuila. And of course, Standing Rock's affidavit, when he went back to tell John Ross that Sequoia was dead and that they had found some of the Cherokees in Mexico. And I mean, this is all
right.
established Cherokee history. And, oh, my gosh, you just wouldn't believe that people, you know, the claim to be big-time Cherokee, oh, that never happened. We weren't from Mexico. We were from, you
right.
know,
right.
you know we're from New York and all that other stuff. And I had one guy.
I've heard those remarks. I've heard
oh,
them on the
yeah.
on the Facebook Cherokee groups.
Some of
the groups on there. The Cherokee Nation of Sequoia is not real Cherokee, and
Martin Nightwolf.
All this and that's ooh.
Yeah, Martin Nightwolf and I had a big fight. He's not too far from here, and you know, of course, he was claiming to be in a master's program. That didn't exist, and you know,
right.
Wow, you know. So anyway, but there's just, you know, unless you're willing to really put some time into it and really do the reading, you can be, and no other subject. You know, they say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Oh my gosh, that is so true when it comes to Cherokee.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, John Red Hat said, anybody that tells you he's a Cherokee expert is usually neither.
Exactly.
And I always tell people, hey, don't believe me, you know, check
right.
it.
Right. The longer time goes on, the more we're going to find out about where we came from. You know, I'm going to have to listen because the truth is the truth. You can't fight the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I know Blue Otter years ago. I talked with this one Cherokee elder lady, and we talked quite a bit and exchanged some artwork and different things. And one of the things I found out was that their particular group of Cherokee were actually using a form of the Mayan Zolk'in calendar.
Oh, wow.
Where did they get that? So
was it Raven Hale?
Of course they'd be down in Mexico.
Was it Raven Hale?
Someone knew of her. I talked to her, too.
She said the same thing.
Yeah, she said the same thing. I talked with her as well, and I was working with her a little bit because on some of her artwork and pictures, she was trying to come out with something that was more, I guess it was an update or something to that book, but she wanted me to help her some with it. I don't think she ever got that done before because I think she passed away in around 2002 or so.
Yeah.
There.
But the other thing
that was interesting that she told me, she said in their understanding, and this also seemed to connect up to the Maya culture in Mesoamerican pretty well too, she said that they, in her particular group of people, that they knew that a long, long time ago that their spirits had ancestors in probably spirit form. I'm not sure. I can't remember how she exactly said it, but they had moved from the Pleiades system into Earth.
That's a rolling
system. She said that with each age, she says, you know, you have like the Silver Age, Golden Age, Bronze Age, and Iron Age, and that cycles like that. She said, with each age that we've been on Earth, we've actually gotten stupider. So we're at the point right now where we're pretty much the dumbest that we've ever been. Yet we think we're smart.
Well, that's encouraging to know.
So, you know, some of the Maya and some of the other cultures also seem to have a very strong connection with the Pleiades. You even see it in the Hopi ceremonies. In one of their ceremonies, when Orion comes over and then the Pleiades are in a certain position with Orion, and then they start these songs. And those songs, I think, are connected to the Pleiades. And I think that's even documented. If you read very carefully in the Book of the Hopi by Frank Waters, if you read it real closely, you'll see that. And there were a lot of Hopi elders that helped write that book. So, yeah.
How did they know there were seven stars when you could actually only see six?
Yeah. Well, there's those two that are kind of real close together, right?
Yeah. And of course, there's Hebrew beliefs about Alcyone, and which is the brightest star, and you know, Joseph Smith taught a little bit about that,
So it's the Mormons. I've done a little bit of study about them fellows myself.
Yeah. Well, they don't know where they don't understand their own roots either. And Joseph Smith died before he was able to teach them everything he tried to teach them. And you know, Brigham Young said, you know, he says, you're all stuck. What is exactly? Let's see this quote. He says, "You're dumb and stupid as dumb asses," is what he. He says you deserve to be led astray, and he said, and if you don't repent, he says God will allow me or Joseph to lead you astray, and people don't realize that, and the Old Testament will back that up. You know, King Saul,
right.
God sent an evil spirit. See, only
he sure did.
Well, Jews understand, you know, you've got two voices. You got, you know, one talks in one ear, one talks in the other, and they lead you toward whichever way you're inclined to go.
That's right.
both of them come from God, but Christians, most Christians do not understand this concept. You see it in, sometimes in comedy, you know, with the little devil sitting on the left shoulder. Guess who wrote that? Some Jewish guy. And I mean, that's a really old teaching. And but I can attest to the fact where before I even knew about that, I was aware that you know, something was coming in a certain ear, you know, and then when I think back to that, I go, okay, I chose the right way, and because I've had stuff coming to my left ear too.
Right.
Oh, it's,
you gotta watch that left ear.
Oh yeah. If you're not living right, you know, God will send some, you know, a voice to lead you in that direction. And that's the way.
That's the law of the harvest.
Well, yeah,
plant, you're going to reap.
Well, yeah, it's just, he allows you to sort yourself out.
Yes.
You know, and
you don't learn, it just gets worse.
Yeah. And, but, you know, so, yeah, it's
kind of like what our planet's doing right now, right?
Right.
I mean, we just don't seem to learn.
But,
I'm not sure why not.
We need to learn. We need to learn. We need to be more willing to learn and not thinking we know it all, you know?
Yeah.
But
well, it's kind of like one of the show, Blue Otter, we did on the thing with the weather thing and all the signs last time, and we were talking about that, you know, the Hopi said that, you know, each of the world cycles, you know, we had greed, corruption, all this. Basically, we didn't learn all the stuff that, you know, our Joseph's been saying about the fighting with each other and all that stuff, you know, that happening. And each of the world cycles so far has ended the same way. We just didn't learn, and we didn't follow Creator's plan, and we didn't take care of each other, love each other and stuff. We just fight and bickered, have wars, and we just messed up till it got so bad Creator just said, well, I'm gonna wipe it all off now and get a clean slate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're pretty quickly approaching that point right now too.
Yeah.
I think the only reason it probably hasn't happened more than seeing his creation
fight each other all the time. You know? I mean, it's not what it's
about.
I
think we probably would have run out of time already if it, you know, people out there like Joseph wouldn't have been talking and doing some things. I think we've had some people, not a small number, I think we've had a few people on Earth that have bought us some time. Otherwise, I think we may have not made it this far.
Absolutely. You know, they contribute.
I think there's a lot of people working their hardest to try to turn this thing around.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I appreciate what you guys are doing on the show, enlightening people, bringing them the truth, allowing them to see the truth, you know, and then they can weigh it themselves.
Yep.
They can examine it themselves. And then make the necessary changes.
Well, you know, we don't get many listeners, but, you know, I heard Glenn Beck say the other day, he says, we never had lower ratings than when we were talking about the coming economic collapse.
Ah, well, I wonder why.
Who wants to hear that? I mean, I'm insane. I'm insane to think that anybody was ever going to support this show. And, you know, it's very, very few people. It's just, you know, it's just, as a matter of fact, it's getting to the point where, you know, we're going to have to choose between, you know, well, if you look at the cost of living increases in the last 4 years, this is unreal.
Tell me about it.
I mean, who wants to hear bad news? People want to hear you say smooth things.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when you tell them they have to change.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when the truth is revealed, you have to, you make your choice. You're either going to change to match the truth, or you're going to go on and live a lie, and that's never good. It's not going to have a good ending.
Well, Joe, are you married?
Well, I was.
Well, you know,
I was 20 years.
You know, I was going to say, you know, I'm all the time. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, this. You know, we're doing some interesting things, but I'm always catching hell from my woman about my shortcomings. You know.
Well. Hey, there's nobody better to point it out to you than your better half. You know.
That's right. Absolutely. But
yeah.
Speaking of better half, I probably ought to think about getting you know, moving on and getting this thing shut down for tonight. But
awesome. Well, it's been a great pleasure being on the show tonight. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
One thing, other thing I popped to share with Joseph on his Fire Eagle.
Yes, sir.
One of the native names for Our Lady of Guadalupe, I can't pronounce the word or the name, so I'm not even going to try. But the translation of the name means she who comes from a region of light, like an eagle of fire.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So, for some reason, I thought I should tell you that.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did.
She who comes from
a region of light, like an eagle of fire.
Region of light. I'm trying to look that up, see what that would like.
Some of them say instead of eagle of fire, sometimes they say, eagle of the sun. Or something of the sun or something, too. You'll see translations like that, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, also...
Yeah,
if,
yeah. Koatlazapu or something, yeah. It's the earliest suggestion the word Guadalupe originated from. I could see why, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
also, on that particular image, it's not well known, but the stars that are on the Cherokee of Mexico logo of the Big Dipper.
Yes, sir.
Those particular stars are on that Guadalupe image, both on her mantle and on her dress. It's on there twice.
Wow. It's just a Big Dipper, a mirror image of itself. Looks like an Omega sign.
So yeah, that's
pretty awesome.
So those are things I think may connect to some of the things on your path, maybe.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely gonna be doing a lot of reading. I love to research things. I like to get to the bottom of things, find the origin of what I'm looking for. You know. And I'm the kind of a person that when I get onto something, I don't quit till I get the answers that I'm looking for. I don't quit.
Well, you know, also when that Guadalupe image appeared, right before that, the Spanish and all those people, I mean, everybody was fighting. I mean, and none of the natives, all of them were fighting each other and fighting the Spanish, and everybody was, it was just one big skirmish, and the Spanish missionaries weren't having much success. When that image appeared, everything more or less stopped.
Oh, wow.
The native people, when they saw that image, they really responded real fast, a lot of them.
It was powerful to the native
people.
They
quieted things down real quick. Huh?
The native people, they know those things. I mean,
yeah,
you can sense things. When the truth is revealed to you, it's going to do something to you.
You know, one thing I ran across just a couple of days ago. This maybe this is what pissed my friend off. He said that there's a gal by the name of Ann Barnhart, and she's the one that burned a Quran online. She had a bookmark with raw bacon, but yeah, she converted to Roman Catholicism and really got into it. And I mean that's a rich tradition, but she said. She wrote in her, and I just found this the other day, she said, I, along with the reader who sent this to me, had always assumed that the family of the Aztec Emperor Moctezuma was killed by the Spanish, namely Hernan Cortez, in order to keep the Aztecs from rallying to them and trying to reestablish the Aztec throne to his children. Montezuma did die, but it's unclear how he died. Admittedly, Cortez may have him killed, but there are also accounts of Montezuma being stoned to death by his own people and accounts of Montezuma starving himself to death. We just don't know.
Right.
But what we do know for a metaphysical certitude is what happened to Montezuma's children. Embrace yourself because it's going to be a shocker. They all converted to Christianity, were quickly created titular Spanish royalty by the King of Spain. Not only were Montezuma's children and grandchildren not killed, they were recognized and respected as royalty and integrated into the Spanish royal caste as dukes, duchesses, counts, and countesses. Then they then relocated to Spain, married other Spanish royalty, and their lines and titular houses exist to this day, with those houses receiving pensions all the way up till 1934.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's for a shocker. Wow.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, who
I
knew?
Guess so.
It's amazing what, you know, if you, I don't know, it's crazy.
Well,
it's nuts. And it's
amazing
just,
what you can find if you're just looking.
She said, what this shows is the amazing respect that the Spanish had for the people that they encountered in the Americas. Despite the atrocities that they encountered, the Spanish must have been utterly revolted at what they found in the Aztec culture, but still recognized the humanity of the Aztecs. You see, this is the problem the Cherokee had. You know, we had a, you know, a brief problem with our priesthood. And, of course, Dr. Rogers points out that we must have lived side by side with the Aztecs and Mayans because they found, obviously, Cherokee, you know, statuettes of Mayan and obviously Cherokee because we've always had a little beard and we've always worn, you know, something like a little anyway, it's on the CherokeeDiscovery.com website. You can read about it.
Yes, sir.
But and she said, and yes, I do attribute this to the fact that the Spanish were working under the auspices of the church, and most important aspect of their mission was to spread the gospel to the peoples of the America. And so they didn't view the Aztecs as subhuman. Which is, well, that's interesting because, you know, the narrative you hear nowadays, and there is a narrative going on. And I mean, I'm all for what they used to call conservation, but I felt back in the late 90s that the powers that be were going to turn this into more or less of a pseudo religion, and they really have, and they're using us.
Pretty easy to spot, isn't it?
Yeah. And
always break everybody up and have everybody fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you want to destroy your family, just start get the children fighting.
Oh, the Romans. That was their, that's what they did. That was their modus operandi, was divide and conquer. They did that constantly.
Yeah, the evil guy was whispering in their ear.
Well, I need to let you guys go. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Hey, it's been awesome, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Been fun.
Maybe something that's been said tonight will strike somebody's heart chords and just remind everybody of who we are. We're brothers.
And if you talk to Black Feathers, tell them I'm really sorry I haven't got back to them over the phone, but there have been a lot of challenges with Linda's health and been a lot of stress here. And
yes, sir.
The last little while, she's having some ongoing health problems with anxiety and
right.
Because of things that happened going back when she's 5 years old and our sleeping hours.
They're wonderful people, though. I love the daylight side of Black Feathers and Sister Val.
Tell them I will get back to them. I just had a lot on my plate, so.
I most definitely will.
All right, guys.
Listen, hey, many blessings, guys. I appreciate y'all.
We'll let you go. Anyway, folks.
All right.
We'll see you the next time we see you. I'm not sure. I don't have anything. I guess Mark was talking about he's still trying to work on that Hopi Elder, and they feel threatened. They really do. I know they've been told to shut up. So if he comes
he has a lot on his plate too right now.
Yeah.
So his he has some things not exactly the same as yours, but a very similar situation.
Yeah.
His wife and stuff. So.
Yeah. But anyway, well, you guys take it easy. Good
All
time.
All right, you too. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am.